And about 3 or 4 days after Brother Hiles was home going, I got a phone call in my office. And my personal assistant said, Dr. Tom Malone is on the phone for you personally. He said it's sort of like, you know, why would he want to talk to you? You know, I don't think he meant it that way. It was, you know, Dr. Tom Malone wants to talk to you. And I said, well, put him through. Picked the phone, and that one-of-a-kind voice, that gravelly, seasoned, preached voice came on. He said, Brother Scalp, he said, this is Brother Malone. He said, I might be out of line calling you. And I said, you never are, but I said, how in the world could I help you? He said, well, he said, I heard that maybe because you are family, you might not be willing to accept the candidacy of that church if it's offered to you. I said, well, I don't know. He said, I'm just calling to tell you, if they offer the job to you, please, please consider it. He said, your daddy-in-law many times in private said to me, I think my son-in-law ought to take the pastorate. I couldn't tell anybody that phone call. I couldn't hang up and say, hey, guess what? Dr. Malone just put his vote of confidence on me, you know. I hung up and I got on my knees and tears ran down my face. I told him before I hung up, I said, you have no idea. I said, Brother Malone, I don't know what has going to happen. Or the pulpit committee has been formed. I said, it's not something we're thinking about right now. I said, but we're scared. Pray for us. But I said, you gave me a lot of confidence today. You gave me just that assurance of that voice. And I did tell my wife, but the two of us kept that secret and figured that probably that would be a secret we'd take to the grave. And when you all voted me in as pastor, I told a few more people, but Dr. Malone, in a time when I needed to hear from a very strong man who knew my father-in-law well, you gave me words of tremendous encouragement. Thank you so very, very much. Well, likewise, I searched how to introduce Dr. Tom Malone. Only Brother Hiles could do it right. Brother Hiles, would you introduce your favorite preacher, Dr. Tom Malone, please?
I don't want to tell this, because I really want to be quite this frank this week. There's no use in hiding anything. The article had just come out, and I didn't want to travel the next week. I just did not want to face the country. And I was to go to Long Beach, California, and to the Laird Chapel for a bus convention. And I guess the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've did in my life is just walk on the platform. Sharing the pulpit that conference with Dr. Tom Malone. Well, at that time, I didn't know. I just didn't know if anybody loved me anymore. And I dreaded to face Dr. Malone. I mean, I just hated to face him. I got to the airport where the chapel met me, and he said, "This is a letter. Dr. Tom Malone, he wants you to read it right now at the airport." I began to tremble. That letter was one of the most encouraging letters, if not the most encouraging letter I've ever received in my life. I'm almost quoting, "Dear Brother Hiles, the devil always fights God's man, and especially leaders. And you're the leader," he said, "of our team." He said, "It's an honor to be with you this week and share the pulpit with you." There's no way I could tell you what that letter meant to me. In the last year, this man's been like a fortress of the faith and like a firm foundation, friendship to me. And I appreciate it more than I could ever tell him. Dr. Malone, we are going to likewise place your portrait in the hallway of our college. This wonderful picture will hang in the dormitory, in the hallways of Hiles Anderson College. And then for you and Mrs. Malone, we're going to see to it that you go shopping tomorrow. I understand you've got your dogs with you, too. Is that right? They got two dogs that travel with them. And I never heard of that in my life before. I mean, I've had a lot of folks ask for accommodations for different, a lot of different things. But we had to get three rooms in a motel. And we'd like to see you and Mrs. Malone shopping tomorrow and outfit you. Both of you. From stem to stern. Then, also, we'd like to send the two of you on a trip anywhere. In the United States, Canada, Mexico, Caribbean, Hawaii, or Alaska, for a dream weekend at our expense. And then, it wasn't hard for me to write this poem. Dr. Malone, I'd like you to stand beside me, please, if you would. If all the world could gather to hear a prophet preach, if I could choose the preacher, the one I knew could reach the multitudes for Jesus of all the men I've known, I'd choose my favorite preacher, dear Dr. Tom Malone. If I could choose a preacher for all to imitate, if I could choose a Christian God's men should emulate, if I could choose one preacher from whom I'd make a clone, I'd like for all to copy, dear Dr. Tom Malone. If I could choose a preacher to lift me to the skies and raise me from the valley and help my spirit rise, someone to lift me Godward when life's ill winds have blown, I'd choose without a question, dear Dr. Tom Malone. If I could choose a prophet to be God's prophet, to be a prophet's man, a man to lead the preachers who serve throughout the land, the one we trust and follow, whom only God can own, I'd choose the preacher's preacher, our pattern, Tom Malone. If I could choose a giant to stand beside a friend, the kind of guy who's loyal and faithful to the end, a giant who will lift you when you're nearly prone, with not one hesitation, I'd point to Tom Malone. If I could choose a soldier who, under God's command, when all around were turning, the one I knew would stand, if I could choose a fighter, the kind who'd fight alone, I'd choose as my commander, our general, Tom Malone. If I could choose a servant, a sincere, humble guy, who knoweth not his greatness, when honor draweth nigh, a guy who'd live for others and seeketh not his own, I'd choose one meek and humble, like Dr. Tom Malone. If I could choose a Christian who's earnest and sincere, the kind I think my Savior enjoyeth being near, the life who by its actions my blessed Savior shone, I'd choose a Christ-like model, like Dr. Tom Malone. Hey, who's the greatest preacher that you've ever heard? Who's the greatest teacher of God's eternal word? Who's the greatest prophet this generation's known? I'd give the same old answer. It's Dr. Tom Malone.
Dr. Tom Malone. Last time I went to my ear doctor, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. He said, "I think you've lost 30% of your hearing." That's what I heard him say. But later, he said, "You've lost 70% of your hearing." So I didn't hear all
from behind, sitting behind. But I've heard enough in my life, so I don't worry about what I don't hear. A lot of things I've heard I don't want to hear again. But I've heard enough to just keep me thrilled about the Lord, God's people, and God's work. It's a wonderful privilege to be here tonight. And Dr. Robinson, those were 19 of the most exciting minutes a person could ever ask for. And I enjoyed hearing him preach so much. I just enjoy looking at these folks. And it's a great privilege to be here tonight. I met Dr. Hiles, I think, a little over 40 years ago at Lake Louise, Georgia. I'd been asked by Dr. Rice to speak at a SWORD conference. Dr. Hiles had been asked to speak for the first time at the same conference. I got through preaching and sat down, and the man next to me said, "Have you ever heard Jack Hiles before?" I said, "No, I never have." He said, "Well, fasten your safety belt." So I did, and I knew what he was talking about. And I have fastened it scores and scores of times since then, listening to what I think is the greatest preacher, greatest man I ever knew in my life. And we certainly have wept with you folks, prayed for you, and I certainly love Dr. Hiles. I've never had a man in my life be so kind and so nice to me as Dr. Jack Hiles has been. And I love him, and I certainly miss him like I know you folks do. But you know, God is still alive. Jack's more alive than he's ever been. And God is going to bless this work. I can just feel in my heart that the Lord is leading and God is with you, dear folks. And everything is going to go on just the way Dr. Hiles would like to have it go on. I was preaching, I think, to some funny things about Dr. Hiles. He had a great, wonderful sense of humor. And I was preaching down in Ohio with him once, and I just got through preaching, and he was preaching, and he said, "Now, I'm trying to help you folks." He said, "I'm trying to help you because I'm not going to be here forever. And I'm trying to help you, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying." And I was sitting there listening, and he said, "Don't think that Dr. Malone's going to be any help to you because he's already lost his mind." I thought that's one of the sweetest things that he could have said to me. And I think of it very often. And I loved him very much. And I'm happy to be here. I wanted you to read with me tonight from the Word of God. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and just a few verses. And then I want to speak to you what God has put on my heart for tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's just put in at verse 5. Paul, of course, is writing to his young son in the ministry. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words in which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. And I want to speak to you tonight on these words, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love and in Christ Jesus. I remember years ago, as a young preacher, I heard about three men who had seen a man come to the front to be saved. These three men went up and knelt by him in order to help him to trust the Lord and to be saved. One of them, as the story goes, said to him, pray through, my brother. And the next one said to him, hold on, my brother. And the next one said to him something about the same way. And I've thought of that a good many times, and I'm thinking tonight about the matter of holding on. You don't have to hold on to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus died for you. You trust him in your heart as your personal Savior. You don't have to pray through. You just have to believe that Christ died for your sins and take him as your personal Savior. But I want to talk to you tonight about the Bible a number of times tells us, as the people of God and as preachers, to hold on to certain things in the Bible. Never let go of them. And I want us to notice them tonight in the Word of God for a few minutes, that God tells us that certain things we're never to give up, always to hold on to. You know, many people do not believe tonight what they believed 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago. Many people have changed what they believe. And, of course, that's a violation of what God said. Hold on to what he has said in his blessed word. I can remember the first time I ever heard a man say that I don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe we're going to be caught up in the middle of the rapture. And I was astonished to hear someone say that. I heard a man say not too long ago that the bodily coming of Jesus Christ is not true. People do not believe what the people believe that I started out with and grew up with in the Lord, having been saved in 1935. And for 65 years, I've been talking to people, listening to people, to what they believe. And many people have changed. People do not believe in our kind of soul winning anymore, like they did. We still hold on to it, and we always will, because God is in it. Our winning people to Christ and confronting them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I started out my day today with a great blessing. I've been going through the Detroit airport ever since there were the little DC-3 airplanes for many years, traveling over the country. And in recent months, I have met a man just riding on his cart to get from the front of the airport door to my gate to fly out. And every time I'd ride with that man or any other man, I'd take the opportunity to talk to him about the Lord and ask him if he's saved as we were riding along. One man I talked to for 3 years, and I was in Houston, Texas a few days ago preaching and came back. Just happened that I was able to get on the cart with him. And he said, I have some good news for you. I've been thinking about things you've been saying to me for 3 years. He said, I've put my faith in the Lord. Now I'm saved and I know it. And he said to me, I'd like to get a hold of a Scofield Bible. And I said, well, I'll get you one. So I made plans for this morning. I took a beautiful Scofield Bible, and I saw his cart coming. And I waved, put my hand up, and he stopped. And I got on that little cart, gave this man's Scofield Bible, who'd just been saved, witnessed to him every time I saw him for 3 years, and he'd just been saved. He took that Bible out of a little bag I was carrying it in. He took it out of the box. He had stopped his cart, and people were everywhere, and the cart was loaded. But he opened up that Bible, and I could see the joy of the Lord in his face. And he said, thank you, and how much do I owe you? And I said, you don't owe me nothing. I thank God you've been saved. You know, I still believe that's what God wants us to hold on to and to do, to win people to Christ, to get people saved. There are people today who do not believe anymore in the keeping power of the Lord. They think you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. Many people have changed what they believe about that. There are people who do not believe there's only one Bible, but I do. I believe there's only one Bible, and I have it on this pulpit tonight. And the world is being deluged with versions of the Bible, but I thank God the Lord tells us, hold on to the Word of God. And I'm going to try to do that. I'm 85 years old, crippled, but I'm going to hold on to the book that I heard when I got saved and use it to try to win other people to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, hold on to the Word of God in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Hold fast the faithful Word which you have been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. I want to hold on to the Bible. I have no confidence whatsoever in so-called versions of the Bible. I believe when I first got saved, there was one Bible, and I began to read it, and I've never read any other than that one Bible. And I want to hold on to the Bible. We've come to the day and age when a lot of people are saying, the Bible is not the Word of God. It just contains the Word of God. And I disagree with that. The Bible is the Word of God. And it's for you and for me. And I want to hold on to the Bible. We need to have a firm conviction about one Bible. The only Bible. The only true Word of God is the book that's open on this pulpit tonight. And we're to hold on to the Word of God. I went to Bob Jones College in 1935. I was 19 years of age, just been saved. And after I'd been there for a few days, Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., he was in his prime. He's 54 years old. I felt when he preached or talked about the Lord and the Bible that the whole earth shook. And maybe it did. It did in my heart, I know. But one night, he said, I want all the preachers, young preachers, in the early days of Bob Jones College at Cleveland, Tennessee, I want all of you to come into a certain room, and I want to talk to you tonight. It was something that had not been planned, but God had put on his heart. And he said, 50 years from now, I won't be here, but many of you will. And he said, when you come to that place, you're going to find that there are people that are saying that the Bible contains the Word of God. but it's not the Word of God. And he said, I want to talk to you about it tonight. And he talked about the Bible, that great man of God being inspired of God and the true Word of God. And 50 years went by. And one day I received in the mail a paper from a church, and in that paper it had an exact copy of Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s message he gave that night. It had been preserved and kept, and it was 50 years old. Just like he said, in 50 years you'll see these things happen. And I read that again, and it was just as fresh as it was when he gave it 50 years before. Because you see, the Bible has never changed. The Bible has always been God's Word. And it always will be. And no one can change that. The Bible is the Word of God. We want to hold on to the blessed book of God. I used to hear a man preach. He wasn't a Baptist then, but he is now, because he's in heaven. I'm sure that he is. But he was a brethren, and he loved God, and he believed the Bible. And I used to hear him preach, and he was a great Bible preacher. And he had a little saying. He said, it's in the book. What are you going to do about it? And I heard him tell how one day he went out visiting this brethren preacher. And the lady of the house came to the door, and she said to him, I want you to come around the side of the house. There's something going on in the backyard I want you to see. And she went around with him and showed him. And there were her children and neighbors, and they were playing church, as it were. And one little guy was pretending he was Dr. Lewis Bowman, the preacher I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, he said, you must be born again. It's in the book. What are you going to do about it? And that's my message tonight to the world. It's in the book. It's God's Word. God said, hold on to the Word of God. You know, without the Word, the true Word of God, there's no such thing as being saved. The Bible says we're not saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by incorruptible things. And God, right there, was saying, this book is an incorruptible book. Aren't you glad for that tonight? That this book is what God has written and what God said. Oh, thank God for the Bible. Thank God for its converting power, its cleansing power. Every day of my life, I think of the Bible saying, you're clean through the Word which is spoken unto you. And what Christian tonight doesn't need the power of the Word in his heart and life to keep you clean? The Bible is a convicting book. It's a comforting book. There's nothing like the Bible. Hold on to the Bible. Jesus said, the Bible says, holding fast the faithful Word that we have in the Bible. Hold fast to it. I don't want to turn loose from the Bible. I never expect to. I don't want any other. I'm kind of like one of our young preachers at Midwestern Baptist College. He's preaching recently. I was listening to him. He's going about 90 miles a minute. And he said, before I get started to preaching, if any of you have any of these versions, he said, don't mess up our auditorium with them. He said, just throw them out in the aisle, and the caretakers will come along and get rid of them. I said, amen. That, you may not think that sounds scholarly, but I just happen to believe we have one Lord, one faith, one mediator, and one blessed book. I don't ever turn loose from it, the blessed Word of God. The Bible tells us to hold on to the words of God. Now, in the Bible, we read we are to hold on to the hope of His coming. You know, a few years ago, well, 50 years ago, at Winona Lake, Indiana, there's a great group of preachers that would meet a few years of fifth doesn't make a difference to me. I'm prepared, whichever. They used to speak a lot on prophecy and talk about the coming of a preacher on the coming of the Lord. And there was a great wave of preaching about the Bible teaching the Lord is coming. A lot of folks never mention it now. People do not think about the second coming as I believe the Bible teaches us we're supposed to think. The Bible says this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. I've had folks say to me, how do you think it's going to be when the Lord comes? I think I know. Because the Bible says this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. So you read how he went away and you'll find out, thank God, how he's coming back. He went away in a visible body. He went away with a body. He's coming back not as a spirit, but he's coming back as this same Jesus who died on the cross for the sins of the world. He went away visibly. He was seen when he went away. And a cloud received him out of the sight of the disciples as they gazed at his ascension. But when he comes back, he's coming back visibly again. Thank God I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him when he comes. The same Jesus that went away is coming back as he went away. He went away suddenly. Oh, a lot of people are talking about they can set the time and tell the time when the Lord's coming back. But I don't believe that because the Bible speaks differently about it. No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man returns. I was speaking some years ago down in Ohio, and a man had made a prediction. I'll just tell you the whole truth about it. This man was a member of the Baptist Bible group, which was a great group and had been for many years, and great men in it. But one man, young man, said a prediction that on that Sunday I was preaching down in Ohio. On that Sunday, the Lord was coming back. While I was preaching, folks had come and asked me different things. You believe that's true? You think this man really knows when the Lord's coming back and that he's coming back today? I said, I sure hope so. I hope he's right. And a lady said to me, well, you're away from your wife and your children. Suppose the Lord had come, you'd be caught up not together with them. I said, no, I hope he comes today. And when he does, I'll be caught up with my family quicker than the blinking of an eye. The Bible says the Lord is coming, and he's coming bodily and visibly and suddenly coming back to earth again. No TV evangelist knows when he's coming. The Pope doesn't know when he's coming. But God knows when he's coming, and God knows that he is coming. And I'm looking for the Lord to come. The Bible teaches we're to hold on to our testimony. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. You know, a lot of Christians in this day are letting their testimony be ruined. I know churches that have changed that used to be great landmark churches. They were looked upon as churches that were touching the world and winning people to Christ and sending the gospel to the ends of the earth. But now these people are losing their testimony. They don't have let their testimony go out to win people and bring people to Christ. Bible says we're to hold on to our profession. Don't ever let the devil ruin your testimony. Your testimony is needed in the world. I think of Enoch, who walked with God, the Bible says, and was caught up, and the Lord took him to heaven without dying. I heard a preacher one time describing how he thought that took place. He said, every day God would come along, and he'd say to Enoch, let's take a walk together. And Enoch would say, oh yes, what a great privilege to walk with God. And the whole world was walking against God and Enoch. One day God said to Enoch, this preacher was imagining, one day God said to Enoch, Enoch, you're never going to die. I'm going to catch you away. We'll take you up. And one day he said to Enoch, why don't you just, instead of me going back to heaven and you going back home, why don't you just come on, go with me now? And he went up. And you know, that day, thank God's going to happen. You know, I think many a time we ought to just be encouraged by knowing help's on its way. The Lord is coming. And the Lord knows how to change and judge this wicked world and to take His people out of it. Well, to hold on to the hope of the coming of the Lord. You know, He's coming back, and He's coming in His own time. But we want to keep our testimony. And when the Lord comes, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when the Lord comes just to say to you, to me, you know, you're right where I wanted you to be. The Bible says, watch for His coming. Bible says that He's coming for those who look for Him. And we ought to have our testimony when the Lord comes and be doing what God left us here to do, winning people to Christ. You know, my wife and I have been married 62 years. And one thing about Joyce, she's not afraid to speak to people about their soul. She's won many people to the Lord. I was thinking today of one time, not too long ago, we were in a cafeteria. And it was a large cafeteria, and there's scores of people. Joyce and I were in line. And as we went along, these hands were just working so hard, putting the food out and so forth. And my Joyce saw a lady working over back of the counter whose name was Joyce also, and it saw it on her uniform. And she said to Joyce, there are scores of people behind us and in front of us and a busy place and lots of workers and hands just flying, putting out the food. My Joyce said to this Joyce, Joyce, you know, I have the same name as you do. My name is Joyce, and I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? And the lady kind of bowed her head timidly and said, no, I'm afraid I'm not. Joyce said, well, I tell you, I want to talk to you. People lined up waiting behind. I scared to death myself that they're going to call the police any time. But she just took her time. She said, I want you to write down your phone number. And she gave her a napkin and said, write it on that. I want to tell you the greatest story you ever heard in your life. And she got her phone number, got her on the phone, and she talked to her. And she called her again, and she talked to her. And this lady was wonderfully saved. Then she said to me, I want you to get a Bible. And I want you to write in it. And put Joyce's name in it and write in it. And we'll take her a Bible. So we went back to the same cafeteria. I said to myself, I hope Joyce doesn't cause as big a scene as she caused before. Hold up everything. But as she did, when we got down to the where this Joyce was working, who had just been saved, as my Joyce said to me, now, you present her with this Bible. And very quickly I took it and gave it to her, because I was afraid we was going to get put out there just any minute. But I saw something so wonderful. I saw this lady take that Bible and hold it in her hand, and she began to weep. I saw three or four other workers come, put their arms around her and say, Joyce, we're glad you got saved. And you know, we're saved too. We just had never talked to you about it. And thank God, you know, the Lord wants us to win souls to Christ. And a lot of churches, people have lost their testimony. They've lost their standards. They are preaching a soul winning without confrontation. And there is no such thing as that. We're to hold on to our testimony and give it to people how the Lord can save them. The Bible also teaches us that we're to hold on to that which is good. I like that. You know, I've been saved 65 years, and I've been preaching 65 years, and I've been married 62 years. I've lived in the same house 51 years. I've had the same telephone number 60 years. I've been in the same church 58 years. And I guess all of them. But when I find something good, I don't turn loose from it. And the Bible says, hold fast to that which is good. You and I have gone through 8 years of watching our nation go down the slide to immorality and things which are evil and wicked and rotten. But thank God, the Bible says, hold on to that which is good. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of good to hold on to. Thank God there are churches that have never changed. Christians have never changed. And they still hold on to the great things of God. I want to mention to you that the Bible tells us to hold on to your reward. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, I was thinking of Dr. Hiles going to heaven just a few days ago. And I thought that, well, he hasn't gotten to his reward yet. Because you don't get that when you go to heaven. You're going to get that when the Lord comes. And there's a reason for that. Your testimony after you're gone, your preaching after you're gone, your souls that you've won after you're gone will just keep multiplying, and your reward will get greater all the time. And the Bible says, be careful that you don't, and you don't lose your reward. Thank God for the privilege of winning people to Christ, doing the work of God. And the Lord's going to reward us for that. I heard of a farmer, two farmers that lived together. One of them was a Christian, and he tithed his income. And he was not very well off. But he was a tither and a Christian, and you ought to be too. That's what the Bible teaches that you and I have to do. And a man that was not saved, everything went great for him. And one day he said to this farmer that was not doing so well, he said, you know, you tithe your income, and you're a Christian. And he said, here it is October, your crop's all dried up. And look at mine, he said, ever as far as you can see, I have crops to reap. And my barns will be full. And this man said, but God doesn't pay all in October. But God will when you get to, when the Lord comes. And when you get before Him, the Lord is going to reward you. The Bible said, be careful that you don't lose your crown and don't lose your reward. You know, the Lord wants us to hold on. I enjoy holding on. I enjoy holding on to the Word of God. I enjoy holding on to the hope of His coming. I enjoy knowing that the Lord is going to come and we have a reward for serving the Lord. Hold on, the Bible says, to these wonderful things. You know, God has been good to us. He has let us live in a day as dark as it is, but God's let us live to see people saved and to win souls to Christ and to build churches. And that's going to go on. We're going to hold on to that till the Lord comes. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in this place tonight. And we love you. We want to do thy work. And Lord, while some people are letting go, we want to hold on with every drop of blood in us and with all our heart to the good things of God and to thy blessed word, the hope of your coming. We don't want to turn loose of anything that belongs to us through the Lord and through the Bible. Lord, bless this great church, these dear people. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's let go of something, something in the Bible, something good, something the Lord told us to hold on to with all of our heart, Lord, may they take hold again tonight. We pray thou wilt speak to our hearts, and whatever the need of our heart and life might be tonight, we pray that thou wilt deal with us and speak to us, that we might stay true and hold on to the good things of God and do as thou hast left us commandment to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.